This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. During the lame duck session in December, the Ohio General Assembly gave final approval to legislation prohibiting execution of the severely mentally ill. House Bill 136 cleared the Ohio House back on December 17th, and Governor DeWine signed that bill into law. The governor has also imposed an unofficial moratorium on all executions in the state due to ongoing problems finding lethal injection drugs. Meanwhile, at the federal level, Democrats in the House and the Senate unveiled legislation on Monday to end capital punishment at the federal level. This comes at the same time that President Trump is moving forward with the execution of inmates during his lame duck period. I spoke earlier with state lawmakers, anti-capital punishment advocates, and a man freed from death row. Here is our recorded interview. Joining Cincinnati Edition now is Kwame Ajamu. Kwame, thank you for taking some time to talk to us. We're glad to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So I understand you spent almost 3 decades in prison, 28 years, exonerated after nearly 40 years, after being convicted of a murder that you did not commit, along with two others who were also cleared. Just give us a general understanding, if you can. What was that like?
It was horrific. but yeah, in 1975, I was just 17 years old. So when all this happened, I was, some say a man child, I like to say a boy, coming into age. My brother was also abducted, and my good friend, Ricky Jackson, which, by the way, today is his birthday. So I want to say happy birthday to you, Jack, wherever you're at. I'll call you later on. We were accosted and accused of murder, an armed robbery, an attempted murder, May 19th, 1975. I would be sentenced to die all before my 18th birthday. Death row, man, was a scene that, you know, it would take literally the rest of my life to try to explain how horrified and how terroristic it was for me. First and foremost, as I say, a boy at 17 years old, when I arrived there at Southern Ohio Correctional Facility, my first introduction there was to the death chair. I saw the death chair before I saw my cell that I was going into. And all of the games that they play of dehumanization and what we like to say, the breaking of a soul and making of an inmate, we partake in, you know, games, all those things happen. But really the first day there, it was like an introduction to death row. And true, I spent the next 28 years in prison because of this wayfare on my livelihood.
Well, Kwame, you were 17 years old in 1975 when this happened. You were convicted along with your brother, Wiley Bridgman, and your friend, Ricky Jackson. And I understand that this all centered around what has been characterized as a false, coerced eyewitness testimony involving a teenager, a young teenager who has since recanted his testimony. When you're 17 years old and you're staring down the police or a judge, I imagine that's scary in and of itself, but to be facing a capital murder charge and then to be convicted and then sentenced to die. When you look back on all of those decades that you had to spend behind bars, knowing that you were innocent, what kept you going? Were you able to keep some type of idea that perhaps justice would eventually be served for you?
So, yeah. However, and, you know, keeping it 100% honest, I was driven by hatred in the first year of my incarceration, not towards any one person, but towards the system of which befouled me and my brother and my friend. Then the manifestation of education came into reading books at that time in prison and educating myself about myself in the particular situation I was in, because, again, I was only 17. So I knew nothing about the world outside of my little nest that I was in as a young boy. So I had to learn about these legalities. I had to learn about just being a prisoner on death row. I had to learn, I had to become a man who was sentenced to die as a child. You understand? So for me, it was very knowledgeably fulfilling to be on death row in those circumstances. I want you to understand that this does not take away from the dire straits that I was in, but it did help me to propel psychologically, emotionally, and inwardly that I would graduate myself and become an abolitionist. And hate to, like I said, would drive, would be the driving force to get all this started. And today I still hate that system that is in place that does the things that they do. And this is why I am an abolitionist and chairman of Witness to Innocence.
We're talking with Kwame Ajamu. He spent 28 years on Ohio's death row, exonerated after 39 years. Kwame, what do you hope comes of this system? What do you hope legislators in their capacity can do as it relates to the death penalty?
So as we look at even today, just the fiasco that went on in Washington, D.C. yesterday, it must take note of change. I always say within the confines of Witness to Innocence that change must come only once you have changed that which is what's inside of you. We are in a struggle both inwardly and outwardly to abolish the death penalty. I say inwardly because there are human beings who have sacrificed lives and more than you can imagine, and outwardly because there are human beings who want those lives, those sacrificed lives, to continue. And so we are in a fight desperately to stop the emergence of all of this killing in the name of those people living in whatever state and province that they are in, freely just because it is a revengeful act. Some executions occur after those people have spent decades on death row, and there's just no need to reenact any of the malicious pain and suffering that those families have went through over those years, you know. And so, you know, it's just, it's a big snowball that is not melting, and we have to get behind it and make sure that it goes down to nothing. And we want to do that here in Ohio, and we want to do that now.
That's Kwame Ajamu, a death row exoneree from here in Ohio. He's also chairman of the board at Witness to Innocence. Let's bring in our panel now. We're joined by state lawmakers Bill Seitz and Brett Hillier, both Republican members of the State House of Representatives. Representative Seitz, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Happy to be with you.
And Representative Hillier, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being here.
We're also joined by Hannah Cubbins, Executive Director of Ohioans to Stop Executions. Hannah, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Death Penalty Action Communication Specialist Allison Cohen. Allison, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Let's start with our lawmakers. Representative Seitz, I know that there were a couple of pieces of legislation considered not too long ago. A new assembly has just been sworn in recently in Columbus, and I'm wondering what type of bills related to the death penalty we might see. I know that you're involved in one related to the mentally ill.
Well, that the good news is that bill is now law. My good friend Representative Hillier managed to get it passed. I had been trying to get it passed for 6 years. It grew out of a Supreme Court, Ohio Supreme Court Commission on the Administration of the Death Penalty, and one of the recommendations was that we should not permit persons seriously mentally ill at the time they committed a crime to be put to death. And over the years, we worked very carefully with former Justice Evelyn Stratton, with the Ohio Innocence Project, the Ohio Public Defender, the Ohio Justice and Policy Center, and finally, and I'll give great credit to Representative Hillier, because I had this bill for like three or four sessions and never got it done. We did get it done. So effective 90 days after passage, those persons who are seriously mentally ill, as defined in the bill, will not be eligible for the death penalty if they prove in a pretrial hearing with competent expert evidence that they were indeed seriously mentally ill at the time they committed the crime. The Supreme Court of the United States had already ruled that persons who were juveniles at the time they committed the crime are not eligible for the death penalty anymore. So your first guest could never have been put to death because he was a juvenile at the time he allegedly committed the crime that he didn't commit. And the Supreme Court also ruled that persons who are developmentally disabled or mentally retarded at the time they committed the crime are not eligible for the death penalty either. So we thought it was a natural outgrowth from those U.S. Supreme Court decisions to take the next step, which everyone on this Ohio Supreme Court task force agreed with, except the prosecutors, that we not permit persons who are seriously mentally ill to be put to death if they can prove it in a pretrial hearing. And Brett and I worked very closely on this, and I'm happy to see that that is now the law. It builds on a foundation of laws we've passed in recent years, which include increasing the compensation and increasing the circumstances under which compensation is paid to people like Kwame, who can prove that they were wrongfully incarcerated. So we passed a great wrongful imprisonment compensation bill 2 years ago. Some 7 or 8 years ago, we passed bills that encourage the recordation by electronic or video means of custodial interrogations. We greatly expanded the use of DNA evidence to exonerate folks from crimes they didn't commit. We set forth statutory standards for the retention of evidence in felony cases and for the administration of lineups and show-ups to prevent false identifications and coerced identifications, such as was alleged to have happened or did happen in Kwame's case. So we have done a lot over the years, and I've been at the forefront of each and every one of those to improve the certainty that anyone we put to death in Ohio is in fact guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, and to provide proper compensation to people who have been wrongfully accused of crimes they didn't commit.
Representative Seitz, do you share any concerns about, I mean, when you hear stories like what we heard from Kwame Ajamu, someone who was sentenced to die and was exonerated, innocent of the charges that sent him to prison, does that change your perspective at all on the death penalty in general?
Well, no, because, again, our goal has been to ensure that only persons who are proven to be guilty beyond a reasonable doubt would be eligible for the death penalty. The current situation with the death penalty in Ohio is we have prescribed by statute a 3-drug protocol for the administration of the death penalty, and we cannot seem to find those 3 drugs. So the immediate challenge to the continued use of the death penalty in Ohio is to figure out if there is a way to be able to continue to use the death penalty in those rare cases in which it is proper, and do so in a constitutionally permissible manner. And of course, the United States Supreme Court has a lot to say about that. But the United States Supreme Court has previously held that hanging, electrocution, and the firing squad are all constitutionally permissible means of putting folks to death. So whether we have the appetite to direct the governor and the Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections to go back to some constitutionally permissible method of administering the death penalty, that remains to be seen. I do not favor the complete abolition of the death penalty, but I've taken extraordinary steps over my legislative career of 20 years to ensure that it is applied as narrowly as possible and under the narrowest of circumstances to people who are truly heinous, depraved, and unredeemed and unredeemable criminals.
That's State Representative Bill Seitz. Let's bring in State Representative Brett Hillier. Representative Hillier, let's get your thoughts on the recently adopted legislation and any potential reexamination of the death penalty going forward.
Well, thank you. I would tell you that, to echo what Representative Seitz has said, I do support the death penalty, and I support it in a very narrowly tailored set of circumstances. certainly I think you can look at county by county and see that there might be some need to continue to examine that. And I think Representative Seitz and I are committed to continuing discussion on criminal justice reforms and making sure that resources and money are available to our public defense systems and pro bono law systems that can provide some assistance to folks like your guest here today, Kwame. In terms of 136, the bill itself prescribes that if at the time of the commission of the offense a defendant was suffering from one of four serious mental illnesses, schizoaffective disorder, bipolar disorder, delusional disorder, or schizophrenia, and not only do they have those, but at the time of the offense, there was a significant impact on their mental state that would, one, alter their ability to conform their conduct to societal norms, and two, to appreciate the nature of their consequences, then they would not be eligible for the death penalty and instead would be eligible to be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And that under our bill could apply retroactively to those currently on death row. And for hearings going forward, those individuals would be, this would be conducted at a pretrial hearing with experts provided by the defense counsel and also by the state. Which was, I think, a good solution to a concern that we might be putting someone to death who was seriously mentally ill and unable to manage and contain and conform and understand the nature of their consequences.
Do you see any need to reexamine the death penalty in Ohio further?
Oh, again, to echo Representative Seitz's comments, I think we do. I think there is a concern about putting people on death row and scheduling executions and continuing to move their execution date on the inability to find the three drugs necessary to carry out an execution. I don't practice in the era or in the realm of death penalty cases, but I certainly think that perhaps an argument could be made by a defense attorney that the continued continuances, if you will, of the death penalty date is a concern.
So what would be the remedy then? Are you just saying to turn to alternative means of capital punishment?
Well, I haven't thought that far ahead on that particular issue, but I certainly think that the General Assembly going forward maybe needs to continue to examine this.
That's State Representative Brett Hillier. We're also joined today by Death Penalty Action Communication Specialist Allison Cohen and the Executive Director of Ohioans to Stop Executions, Hannah Cubbins. Hannah, let's talk a little bit about your organization and what your efforts are. What do you want to see happen in Ohio? I imagine that based on the name, you'd like to see executions ended altogether.
Yeah, it kind of gives it all away with the name, doesn't it?
Sure.
So, yeah, I'll give you a little background and then just talk about, you know, where we are, where we're going, et cetera. So ATSI was founded back in the 80s when the punishment was making its way back into the states. And it was a, you know, volunteer grassroots group. There wasn't any opportunity clearly to do anything legislatively because we were just bringing the punishment back, right? And so over the years, we talked about the SMI bill. I know my organization was involved in the earlier stages of that drafting. It was before my time. And, you know, due to just capacity, we've taken a step back, but we wholeheartedly support it. And we're so happy to see it pass thanks to the work of the two state reps we have here today. So that's a great step forward. However, with the death penalty, if you try to address one issue, you still seem to have about 100 more. You know what I mean? So reforms are incredibly meaningful. But I don't think folks realize that there was strong bipartisan support in the legislature to have the conversation about fully repealing the death penalty. That's what we've seen in the last year and a half so of legislative meetings. And so obviously we, you know, my organization wants to see the death penalty fully repealed, and we hope to see that happen in the next few years or so. Does that answer your question?
Sure, absolutely. And let's turn to Allison Cohen now from Death Penalty Action. I know that you've worked with Ohioans to Stop Executions. You've worked with other state organizations, and you are working on a campaign currently to abolish the federal death penalty this year. Tell us your motivations for that.
Yeah, certainly. So Death Penalty Action was formed in 2017 when Trump took office, because we assumed that federal executions would resume under his administration. He made us wait for it, and conveniently, executions resumed right around the time that the campaign really started taking off. And the first federal execution in 17 years occurred in July. And right after that execution occurred, Trump sent out an email to his supporters proclaiming himself as the law and order president, the representative of law and order. And since that time, we've had 10 more executions, three of which occurred during the lame duck session. That has not happened since 1889, when Grover Cleveland was president. And then, of course, we have three more federal executions planned for next week. So our organization right now is focused on, A, trying to stop those three executions, which all have compelling reasons why they should not go forward, one of which Lisa Montgomery suffers from debilitating mental illness and undisputedly committed her crime in a state of deep psychosis, which should be a problem for all citizens listening to this. And then looking forward, our goal is to abolish the federal death penalty in Biden's first 100 days in office. He has come out against the death penalty. He wasn't always against the death penalty. And he's actually cited innocence as one of the most compelling reasons why he has changed his mind on this issue. So it's stories like Kwame's that have reached President-elect Biden's ears and has changed his heart. And really, that's what we find. When people hear these stories, that's when their opinion starts to change on the death penalty.
Hannah, not everyone has a story as compelling as Kwame's. Some people who are sentenced to death are people who have killed others. And do you find that a challenge to drum up public support against the death penalty when you do find yourself arguing not to put someone to death who has already done that to someone else?
Yeah, of course. That's definitely one of the hardest parts of my job, to have that conversation. But I find that the support for the death penalty is about a mile wide and an inch deep. And once you get into the issues of it, folks tend to fixate less on those specific cases and really look at the system as a whole. So I think folks can realize that it's just not a system that's worth retaining anymore. I think a lot of folks hold the opinion that death rows in Ohio and across the nation are full of these folks who are, you know, the Timothy McVeighs or the Ted Bundys of the world. And I understand that sentiment, and I fully support holding folks accountable for violent crime. But ultimately, it's not the severity of the crime that determines whether or not someone gets a death sentence. It's the county that the crime is committed in, whether or not they can afford it, because the death penalty is egregiously expensive, much more so than a trial or a case that would be non-death. The county prosecutor, who has the sole authority to decide whether or not to seek death, the defendant's access to proper defense counsel, and the race of the victim. Those are all factors that play the biggest part in who gets death and who doesn't. And we found that in Ohio and across the country, it's incredibly arbitrary. And there have been states like Maryland that tried to limit the cases that were eligible for death, and it didn't work. They eventually repealed. Even the prosecutors didn't like the way that the system was working, because it made the sentences even more arbitrary than they already were. So I try not to fixate as much on specific cases, because we're never disputing that violent crime has occurred and that a lot of hurt has been caused. But it's just more about the discussion of whether or not it's worth retaining it, especially when we consider all the issues that we have with this system and the fact that it doesn't serve victim family members. You know, we talk about how long the process is, and it's the process is long for a reason. If you try to speed it up, you take risks. If you if it stays the way it is, it's incredibly harmful for victim family members. So we feel that the best option is to just, you know, obviously repeal. That's the organization's goal. And life without parole would be, you know, the harshest sentence in Ohio and would allow murder victim family members to quietly grieve out of the public eye, if that makes sense.
Hannah Cubbins is the executive director of Ohioans to Stop Executions. Allison Cohen is communication specialist at Death Penalty Action. We've also been joined by Ohio State, State House members, Bill Seitz and Brett Hillier, both Republicans, and Kwame Ajamu, a death row exoneree from Cleveland, who is board chair of Witness to Innocence. Kwame, Representative Seitz and Hillier, Allison and Hannah, thanks to all of you for the time you gave us today on this very important topic, and hopefully we can all talk again sometime.
Certainly. Thank you for having me.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.